Oh my God, it's the Aussie Vinyl Show. And hey, I've got Wally here. Wally Kempton.
That'll do.
Some would have said Wally Meany.
Others would have said Roderick Kempton II.
And I would call him Wally Even.
There you go.
Because he keeps things on an even keel.
Hey!
Thanks, thanks for being part of my ambush.
I'm enjoying the ambush so far.
Yeah, so we've had a chat already.
Yeah, we've been chatting for an hour already before we turned the mics on.
Oh, I thought
we've got nothing left.
There's plenty left.
Well, you know where that came from.
So Wall's walked in with a couple of records. Well, with one record.
Yeah, one record.
And I've produced another one to
these cans are nice.
Do you like my cans?
I love your cans.
Mad cans. About time I got all these years of chicken and soya milk. It's about time I got some recognition.
Headphones? Yes. How did you know?
Well,
mm-hmm.
Why isn't there any good music anymore?
We've been through this, Derek. when you hit me with that question before and I answered, well, this could just be an hour or two of me plugging myself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there is good music anymore. Is that a sentence?
Yeah.
And I'm heavily involved in it.
Yes.
So I just rave on about myself now, do I?
Look, I'm going to really guide this because I'm like, I see myself as the Denton of uninformed music fans.
You want to put a dent in my armour.
It's beautiful. The reason I ask that is because the whole manifesto of this show is to fight for fuck's sake. And there's two different kinds of, yes, there is good music anymore. There's old farts still doing good music.
Yep.
Who don't stop.
Exactly.
I know that. But mm-hmm. My father was busking in DeGrave Street at the age of 78.
Was he there?
As a doing trad jazz.
Wow.
So it never stops. And there's also loving what the young folk are doing. You're heavily involved in both of those.
Yeah. Well, not the trad folk one, but I do know some tragic folks, though.
Now, this record I've got sitting here is a bit of a trip down memory lane.
It is indeed.
For so many reasons. Partly, you've deliberately designed the cover to attract my attention because there's a bag of cheese twisties.
Mm-hmm. Some Wrigley's chewing gum. Coca-Cola yo-yo.
Fads.
As they're called nowadays.
Yep. Lifesavers. So it's pretty good art. Who did the art?
Matthew Cotter from the Even Group of Singers, the drummer. He's a very accomplished artist.
Your own drummer.
Yes. And
that's handy.
Yeah. Now, folks, do you want to do the backstory or should I do it?
Yeah.
Okay. He's holding a record by the band called Even, which is coming out, well, we don't even need dates, do we? It's available on vinyl and CD through my label, Cheer Squad Records and Tapes. It's called Down the Shops, and the front cover is a illustration, painting, if you will, of an old-fashioned milk bar from the suburbs. And as people in New South Wales might call them a delicatessen, but we Victorians call them milk bars.
The milk bar. And do the sheep shaggers call it a dairy?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they do.
Yeah. It is a fantastic bit of artwork.
And, yeah, so that's the front cover. It's even got a bicycle out the front and the rubbish bins. And
three-speed dragster.
Three-speed dragster, indeed.
Yep.
It's got the fantastic red, white and blue, you know, fly thingo that you'd have hanging in the doorway. What do they call that? Like a beaded annoying curtain, but it's not beads.
The not very good in COVID strips to keep the flies out in the air conditioner. It's great. Look, well, I haven't listened to it yet because it's still in its wrapping.
And, the back cover is all fantastic. The assorted lollies and crap that you would buy in a milk bar when you're a kid with even the Golden Gay Time. But the names have been changed to represent the song titles.
Is this new material? Is it a best of?
No, they're actually cover versions.
A cover?
Yeah, they're all covers.
Let's have a look.
Over the years, Even have done a lot of covers in our live set just to pay homage to bands or songs, in particular songs that we just went, wow, we love this tune, so we're going to cover it. I think we even covered Supergrass Called by the Fuzz the week it came out just because it's like, you know, we learned it in the tour van outside the Annandale Hotel and went in and murdered it.
I love a good cover bands
give me the shits.
No, a good cover version. Album. Is,
yeah.
Over
the years, we've had covers on B-sides to singles or bonus tracks on CD singles, and we've contributed songs to tribute albums and the odd, you know, we've played them in a live show that we've actually recorded and thought, oh, that turned out all right. So that's what that is. And that's everything that we've done since our inception up until, well, the most recent one came out last year, cover version on a B-side of a single. And so I just thought I'd compile them all in the one thing.
Yeah.
And put it out on the one piece of vinyl. It's been received quite well.
Fuck yeah, it looks grouse. And I can't wait to have a listen. I was a big fan of like The Reels.
Yeah.
And then they had a new album came out and it was called Neighbours, and I went and bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all very, very slow versions of his Aussie rock classic songs, including the Skippy theme. And I love that.
They did a really good version of Bad Moon Rising, really slow too.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And the video clip was reminiscent of Godly and Cream's Cry kind of video clip with the just people walking along slowly, going past different characters. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. So that's that.
So even playing?
Well, we didn't do much in 2020, of course, because no one did. Mm. Our first shows of the year were supporting Icehouse at the Melbourne Zoo. And our last shows of the year were doing four shows at the Corner with reduced capacity for our Christmas shows, and there was nothing in between.
Wow.
We will be doing some more shows because we can now. So I think from April onwards we're going to try and do some more Melbourne stuff and do some more regional Victoria stuff. Who knows, by that stage the borders might be open a bit more and we can travel interstate, but at the moment because of that, it's restricted us somewhat. So – and Ash is really busy too with Paul Kelly, and he's also joined the church. So as in not that stupid thing with the fake person on the cross. It's, the band, the church. So he's joined them. And so
he's pretty prolific, isn't he?
Oh, he's very busy. And you know what else he's doing? the Meanies, the other band I'm in, we're playing one of those Happy Monday shows. By the time people hear this, it might have been and gone because it's on Feb 1. And our guitarist, Jordan Stanley, lives in Bali these days.
Right.
And because of COVID, we couldn't get him back in time for the show, but the show was too good to say no to. So Ashley John Naylor from the Even Group of Singers is Ash Meany for a day.
Oh, fantastic. Probably one of his greatest honours. And he's had a few.
He's been in Paul Kelly's band for over a decade. And the Rockwiz Orchestra and Vicar and Linda Bull and stuff with Claire Bowditch and the Wolfgram Sisters and
almost
Bronson Hang Up. And
almost anything. He's pretty prolific.
Yeah, and he's told me last week that he's doing some stuff with his first band, The Swarm, which was featured Matt Cotter from Even as the drummer and Francis Leach from many forms of multimedia.
Yeah.
He was the vocalist.
Wow.
And so they've been jamming and writing new material. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but hopefully it'll see the light of day.
Let's have a look at the Even timeline.
Yeah.
Because it is phenomenal. It's not quite the same kind of chain thing, you know.
No.
But it's getting there.
We're almost as old.
You guys, how long have you been playing?
94 was our first show, I believe. Yeah, March 94. I think that's right. Then we had a couple of EPs out, and then the first album came out in 96, and it was followed by another EP, and then another album, and then another album, another album. We've had seven albums out, I think. I think we're working on number eight now. And, of course, that makes eight, but, you know, seven studio albums because there's been a couple of compilations on the way. But that's 94 till now. Do the maths. What is that?
Ages.
16, 36 years. Fucking, I don't know.
It's a lot.
26 years, 27 years this year. So seven albums in that time is, a little slow. Could have been more.
Wow, it's all about the live concerts, isn't it?
Yes.
So the Christmas shows.
Yeah.
How did that become a thing?
Weddings, parties, anything broke up.
Yes.
I used to go to their Christmas shows a lot. It was the only widow show that I'd ever see.
Yep.
Was going down to the – and that, even it was in later years, so going down to the Central Club and seeing one of their seven, eight, nine shows that they'd bloody do, and it was such a laugh. It was so much fun. The vibe was incredible. Met a lot of people, you know, that I still hang out with these days at those shows. So it was wonderful. So they stopped playing. And so we just thought, well, we did a show on Anzac Eve and called it Anzac Even.
Nice.
And we did a show on Cup Eve and called it Cup Even.
Nice.
So why don't we do a show on Christmas Eve and take over from where the Widows left off and call it Christmas Even. So it's, you know, it wasn't exactly...
At the Central Club?
No, our first one was at the Corner, actually.
Nice.
And we had Stephen Cummings support us. How good's that? And it just went from there. I think we missed 1 year, and that was, I think, mainly because we just couldn't be fucked 1 year. Sorry about that. And we ended up doing a show on the rooftop of the Evelyn in January that year instead, just for something different.
Didn't even know Evelyn even had a rooftop.
Every building's got a rooftop, mate.
Well, I guess so, but sometimes it's a bit more. You don't want to do it in Switzerland.
No. Near. We've done it every year since 99, pretty much, but that, you know, save for that 1 year that we didn't, but whatever, semantics.
But given the meanies, the even, and different jobs that you all have in different ways in the music industry, and Ash being so prolific, is this like some kind of anchor that does it keep you all sane, or does it keep you all?
Well, I guess it kind of did last year when the subject came up, going, I think the restrictions are going to be lifted a little bit later in the year. Do we want to do Christmas Even? And I just got met with a resounding, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That sense of normality sort of.
Yeah. And I think the hardcore Even fans that are out there that come every year would have been a bit miffed if at the end of such a shit 2020 that they didn't even get to see the Christmas Even show. I might be putting too much emphasis on it. I don't know. But I know there was a lot of happy people in the crowd on all four nights.
Fuck yeah. So I haven't been to a gig yet.
Haven't you?
And considering all of last year was like, right, that's it, the vows. From now on, I'm going to do a full Mary. I'm going to be at every single gig. And then, of course, you know.
She still manages to do it too. She's old Mary Mihalakos.
Yeah.
Aussie legend.
She got herself an award and that was great.
Well deserved.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know what's happening. I mean, Ash has written a ton of songs, and him and Matt have already done the recordings. They're part of the recording. They've already done it. So I'm slowly going over to Ash's place to add my bass, and when that's all done, we'll head into the studio and I'll do my vocals. And
yeah. And did you know about the Mad Max lawsuit? Tell. Well, you know, seeing as Even makes so much money out of royalties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some of the actors that have been in your video clips over the years have got together and we're suing for a slab.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Derek informed me this evening that it was him in the lab coat in the Electric Light video from Even from about 1999, 2001, some whatever that was.
Yep.
And because none of us were in attendance, so I didn't even know.
No.
Until this very point.
There was more ham in my acting than Charlotte's Web, I'm telling you.
Or Babe.
I don't think I got my head in it. I might have ducked it.
No. I don't remember seeing anywhere from neck up in the video and nothing from waist down.
So there you go. There was another one. I was The Drugs. Have you ever heard of a band called The Drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a Bold and the Beautiful, kind of a rappy pop, and I had to be a overacting. That was my feature, and I had to be a burglar and rob this old lady who was watching the Bold and the Beautiful on the television.
What a concept!
Yeah,
who came up with that idea? Was that another Brad Lawson?
Brad Lawson. He would just come and grab his actors from the pub there, the local.
Yeah,
come with me. You've got a lab coat? Yep. Okay, you're in.
Bloody hell!
So you were saying that Ash is playing with the Meanies, which means the Meanies are playing.
The Meanies are doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't played in quite a long time because our quite a long time, really. It's only been 18 months. But our singer, Link, moved to Spain for a little while.
Right.
And our guitarist, Jaws, moved to Bali when he's still there now. So it made doing shows, you know, if we got offered a megabucks to do a festival or something, then it'd be worthwhile flying them both home. And that was meant to happen last June. There was a festival in Bribie Island in Queensland called Spring Loaded.
Right.
That had happened the year before and was very successful, so they wanted to do another one, and the meetings were on that. So we were basing our entire album launch tour, the Desperate Measures, the album you've got in the other room, that was going to come out at the start of June, and that our album launch tour was going to be based around that Spring Loaded Festival, but because of, you know what, it got postponed in November, and then it got postponed to this June, and I'm trying to find out at the moment whether it's actually still going to go ahead in June so that I know whether we have to try and get Jordan back from Bali or not for good, or for at least in know in advance how we're going to go around that. Otherwise, Ash is going to be doing another tour.
So
the show we're doing.
And shows, like COVID.
Yeah.
Back to your other part, you're running a record label or distribution?
Yep. Record label, Cheer Squad Records and Tapes.
Yep.
And primarily vinyl, but and digital download.
Is the tapes just a quirky part of the name?
Tapes is a quirky part of the name. Yeah. Miriam, who works for me, suggested that we do a tape and make it as a sampler. Mm-hmm. So a label sampler. So that's a good idea.
I bought a Ute Root tape online.
Did you?
I don't have a tape player, but I just kind of wanted to.
I've got a tape player. I've got a tape player. It works. It goes through the stereo. I've got, I don't know how many tapes. Do I ever think to go and put one of them on? Of course not. It's a pain in the ass.
Well, you haven't got a pencil handy to to remember the
Ute. To wind it on.
Oh, people don't talk about the environmental catastrophe that was the side of the road. The side of the Hume was like this spaghetti. God knows what those native animals were eating.
Oh, but when you're recording something onto a cassette, recording one of your albums on a cassette so I can play it in the tape deck of the car.
Yeah.
And that little pencil idea, bring it all the way forward so that the minute you hit record, there's tape, not leader.
Exactly.
Oh, the fine joys.
Art. Fine art.
That was so much fun back
with Dobley.
And the loudness. Don't forget to put the loudness on.
Do you reckon that bands are releasing – you're going to be my industry man on the ground right here.
But good luck.
So are bands holding off releasing their records so that they can tour
I'm sure some are. I'm sure some are. And if I'd known – if I had a crystal ball and had known that shit was going to hit the fan and everything was going to lock down and shut down and not happen, then I may not have put the Meanies record out in July last year. You know, I may not have put the Immigrant Union record out in June last year because, you know, I'd forgotten. Well, not forgotten, because I didn't know. Yeah. How could you forget if you don't know? Didn't have a crystal ball, couldn't see in the future, because the previous Meanies record, It's Not Me, It's You, sold twice as much as Desperate Measures.
Yeah.
On the back of the fact that we toured the world and elsewhere to play and to plug it. Mm. And the same, Immigrant Union, their previous record anyway, which is fabulous. They sold a lot of that because they were touring all the time.
Yeah.
But when that stops, it sort of slowed everything down. I'm sure this would, you know, this Even record probably sell a bit more if we were able to get out there and play more often, because the amount of stuff you sell on the road is astronomical.
Well, that's everything now, isn't it? Like it feels like, just as a punter, it feels like the dynamic has changed. People used to say, "Oh, they only tour to sell records,"
duh.
And then it's sort of then people are saying, "Oh, but they're touring to money because they only get a tenth of a cent from Spotify or whatever." So it's all about having big concerts. So therefore, it's complicated.
Yeah, it gets messy.
Yeah,
used to be so easy.
But if you're like me and you go. You've got your standard people that have to have every record.
Yeah.
Thanks to
that's me.
Everyone putting out one with a little bit of a red splodge on it. So you have to have that as well, because it's like important.
Oh, my God. I had a fantastic chat with a fellow called David Williams at a soiree last weekend. And he runs a record label called Public Opinion. And he used to run Shock Records. And he's got a touring company called Tombola. He's a very busy man. And so he's working with TISM, you know, the TISM have gotten back together to do some things.
I thought that was just a prank on social media.
No, it's legit.
Great news.
I was having a go at David because I was trying to get them on my label to reissue all their old stuff, and they seemed keen, and then they just dropped me like a hot spider and went with David. And David's going, "I didn't know that." Going, "I know you didn't know that." And I didn't know you were interested either. So, but how's it going? And he goes, "You know, TISM fans are hardcore. Mm. You know, they want to get everything. It's really quite strange. I mean, they did that, you know, the 7-inch for Those About to Rock but it's got four or five, maybe even six different cover arts on it.
Yep.
So
it's clever, isn't it?
The collectors are getting all of them.
Yeah. TFS. They had that sorted. They had me for every one of those singles.
Yeah, right.
And then the album. It's like, oh, you.
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. I've got every single thing they've ever released.
And then there's that other, what's that record that they gave away? That's a fascinating story.
I know, how good's that? I'll
talk to them about that one day. But people were able, like, Record Lab, did you put a version out?
No.
Everyone was able to just download it.
My mate Richie at Strange World put one out on Homeless.
I think I've got his
one. The Zenith guys put one out as well, where I get my records pressed. Mm. I'm sure there was countless other people that did it. I mean, I just downloaded it and stuck it in my iTunes. I wasn't clever enough to, yeah.
I got one anyway. Of them. I think it was Richie's one.
Yeah, right.
Pretty sure. But I didn't understand what was going on. There's no one to explain it. We've got Aussie Vinyl Show now to explain things like this. But I had no idea what was going on. I was like, why is he going on about this record and not them and not the other records? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
So I'll buy it.
Well, that Desperate Measures, the Meanies album that you bought, because when I've got something, it's a ready to go, you pick a release date, then 4 to 6 weeks earlier, put out a special version of it just to sort of get the momentum going. And it pretty much pays for the pressing if you're lucky enough to have enough pre-orders.
Yeah.
So, you know, I make the first 100 copies a fancy colour.
Yeah.
And with that Meanies one, totally unexpectedly, the purple ones, they sold out in a day. And so I thought, oh, what do we do now? People are just going to be pissed off they missed out. So I thought, well, we could do another colour, I guess. Just thinking, but I don't want to double the purple one because the people that got in early will get annoyed that the people who were late still get the purple one. And we'll do another colour so that And then the red one sold out in another day. I'm going, I can't do this thing anymore. And then you go through the list of people, and people are buying both. It's like, ah. Oh, now I feel like a prick.
They're also gonna go, don't you fucking release it.
Don't you put out a yellow one.
Put another track on it or something.
Oh, no. I felt like such a prick. It's just, that was not my intention to get people to buy more than one copy, but they did. So they're just completists out there. I mean, I'm a vinyl junkie, and I just buy records more than I change, buy new fresh underwear, but...
People say, oh, you're a collector. I say, no, I'm a buyer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a buyer. I'm a buyer and keeper. I'm not a collector in like, oh, my God, what do you mean? Is that like a Lithuanian pressing of that? Oh, it's only 80 bucks.
Has it got a blue kangaroo? It's got a blue kangaroo. He's got a blue kangaroo, everyone. And it's like, fuck. To me, it's a heritage overlay that shits me because it makes me feel bad if someone goes, oh, that Akadaka record, that's like $500. Mm. You go, oh. I'm spewing because now I feel bad about the times that I've spilt fucking bourbon on it and wiped it with my T-shirt and stuff like that.
Oh, is that the not that one. You didn't.
Which one is it?
The Dirty Deeds one with the...
No, I haven't got the
cartoon. Oh, okay.
No. God, no.
Because the American version
only spill
was
on the vinyl. Colour, I never spill on the covers.
Oh, that's okay then.
No, I think it was.
You can clean the vinyl. You can't clean the covers.
The black one.
I got
the good one of that. And that Buffalo record I was telling you about.
Yeah.
But it's just a heritage overlay. It doesn't benefit you because you're not selling it. So
no.
Bragging rights, I don't mind bragging about
it.
I like a bit of that, but it doesn't help the rent.
Well, I just did a bit of bragging before, didn't I? So the King Gizzard's first pressing of everything. Yeah, what's that going to get me? I'm never going to sell them.
Yeah, I know. You've got them. You're showing a bit of belief in something new.
Yeah.
But interesting, King Gizzard had been an interesting thing because when I heard them on the radio and when I went to see them at the Croxton with no research, this is like the best music journalist in town, right? I pretty much assumed they were like 48-year-old kind of dudes who've been banging out or, you know, in bands like the Dumb Earth or the Sand Pedal.
Yeah.
I thought it was an experimental jazz supergroup.
Yeah, right.
From Melbourne's, you know, elite jazz supergroups. Yeah. And I went, oh, my God, they're freaking kids.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. I had such a great time.
It's been a while now. They're probably not kids anymore.
No, they're probably not. But the bottom line is it was just that level of joy to see something new, like a concept. You know, I don't think it was so derivative, you know.
I've got to get out more.
Well, this was years ago.
Yeah.
This was years ago.
But yeah, what do you do? Jesus.
What you do is you – let's talk about a couple of products here. This is like advertising. this is so rock and roll. The rider here
– is the bottle green or the drink green?
The drink is green.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Wally thinks he's drinking Midori and lemonade, but he's drinking SodaStream creaming soda.
Oh.
Well, that's the end of it. They'll be flat.
I asked Derek before, is it creaming or creamy soda?
I say creaming.
Yeah, right.
It just depends on what was in the local milk bar when you were a kid.
Either way, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't taste like cream.
It's not creamy at all.
No. It's not in texture, not in taste. It's a trick.
If that was purple, you'd taste it with your eyes shut and think it was some Italian drink.
You would?
Yeah, I would. I reckon like it'd be Porcello or something like that.
Oh, Portello.
Ah,
I just love Portello.
It's basically sugar with no flavour.
It was just cola and raspberry put together, wasn't it, Portello?
Probably.
Dirty what trick. About sarsaparilla? Or as the Americans call it, root beer.
Root beer. That's different, though, because that's weird as.
Yeah, I know. It tastes like fly spray.
It's pretty weird.
I love it.
It's like chewing on Chinese medicine. But I've got something I have to talk to you about.
Okay.
The other record in the room.
Oh, that elephant.
Yeah. So we were having a little flip through my records and we saw some interesting ones. And
91.
Wally's Jesus Wild God. Weekend seemed to pop out.
Yeah. Well, I was explaining to Derek before, the very first Meanies release on Ogogo was a joint EP with two other Melbourne bands who were fantastic and no longer with us, The Throwaways and Nice Girls from Cincinnati. They were fantastic. We used to play a lot of shows together. And remember years later there was the Tell 'Em It's Healthy, which was Spiderbait, Gutter Snipes and Throwaways. It was a kind of an early version of that. Those three bands would play together a lot.
Ah.
Anyway, we recorded at Stable Sound, which is now Bakehouse. And Dave Kendall, the bass player from the Throwaways, took a tape into Bruce Milne at Ogogo and he went, holy fucking shit, this is great, and decided to put it out. And it came out with some fantastic Keith Burt artwork, and for some stupid reason, much to Bruce's chagrin, we called it Boogie Wonderland, even though all three bands were punk bands.
But
it went pretty well, and it sort of set us all on our path. All three bands ended up signing to Ogogo, and then I was booking the Tote and was in at Ogogo a lot, and we've come up with another idea. We just thought, well, let's do another little compilation like that, and we put Fridge, Seaweed Gorillas and the Poppin' Mummers together and called it 12 Heads, No Brains. And that did fairly well, put those three bands on the map, on the map. The map was Fitzroy. And then we thought, okay, let's have another idea. Let's do another compilation. And it came to this. I was booking the Tote, so we got involved. We asked every Ogogo-related band that was around – going to be around Melbourne, Easter 91, and we put them on at the Tote over the course of the 3 or 4 days, and we recorded everything. Simon Grounds put his stuff, put his equipment in the upstairs office at the Tote. And
shout out from Psycho, Simon Grounds.
That's right, yes.
Oh.
And here we go. Gutter Snipes, Unclean Spirits, Bone Crusher, Hoss, Nursery Crime, Spiderbait, Throwaways and the Meanies. They were the bands that played.
What a lineup.
And we recorded the whole thing, and then it just that was Easter, so that was what, March, April, whatever, of 1991. And even by the same time of the next year, we still hadn't decided on a lineup of what order it was going to be in. The band still hadn't chosen their two songs they wanted. Some of them hadn't even still mixed it. Anyway, fast forward to late 92 and the Meanies are touring overseas in Japan, and I come home to find this record on the shelves at Ogogo.
Surprise.
Surprise. And Greta and Bruce at Ogogo had decided to call it Wally's Wild Weekend, which was just like, are you fucking serious? That is so. What do you? I don't even know the word for it. But as if I would name it after my freaking self in the first place, and then they've put a photo of me on the front and the back cover, and it's just like that is despicable. But what are people thinking? What a wanker! Can you please take that off the shelves? So I cracked it big time. I was a little bit more forceful with my language than what I've just said. And I think my face might have gone a bit red, and I stomped and stomped until they...
You had a tantrum.
I had a tanty, yeah. and they stopped selling it. So I don't know. They probably got 1,000 pressed, and I don't know how many they'd sold by the time I cracked the shits, but they took it off the shelves, and they probably secretly still sold it, mind you, but I don't know. So if you do find one, it's a somewhat of a collector's item.
Oh, that's great news. I know
you could probably get at least $15 for that.
That's pretty good.
But you know, I've spoken about this on other radio shit before. But anyway, I had nothing to do with the title or the cover art. I had everything to do with the content, but nothing to do with its appearance.
Possibly at the time, you were a bit self-conscious about your image being a young rock star.
Well, I had a booking agency, and I was, you know, playing in the meanies and trying to get shit happening.
Yeah.
So it just made me look like a complete tosser.
Well, it doesn't now.
Well, maybe it doesn't not now, now, but at the time it
just did. Like, this was like things were fun back then. And did they think about recovering it? He could have kept the name and changed the cover, kept the cover and changed the name.
Well, does anyone really want that? Do you reckon there would be?
I've already got it, so I don't care.
Exactly.
So keep it.
But
rare.
If I did a reissue of this on my label, for example, and gave it a different name and a different cover, then would people still? I mean, do these bands mean anything to anyone?
I think it's anymore? An opportunity. Like something that just came up recently for me. I'd never seen And I can't even remember what they're called, but they were in your genre.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Spider Bait, and it wasn't the Meanies.
Nursery Crimes?
No. And they were like, I assume they were chuffers.
Space Juniors?
No.
Proton Energy Pills?
No, they were really.
Tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed, yes.
Hey, we knew we'd get there eventually.
Yeah. And I realised I hadn't seen them, and I went to see them at the Gasso.
Oh, yeah.
And I hadn't.
Jeez, that was a few years
really
ago,
listened either. I wasn't sure. Was it years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I thought it was just last year. But anyway.
No, I'm still their booking agent, so.
So I went to that.
At least 5 years ago.
And firstly, I fell in love with them.
Yep.
I just loved it.
Yeah, they're an amazing band.
Secondly, I realised that some of those songs I've always known and loved, I just didn't know who they were.
That old chestnut.
Because the nature of radio and stuff. And thirdly, here I was, a 50-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
In a room.
Hang on, no, it was a long time ago, Derek.
No, it wasn't. It was only a couple of years back.
Only 58 now.
54 now. But
well, maybe you're right. Maybe only just before you're 50.
But I swear the entire room was 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
40-year-old dudes and they all had a bit of a glint in their eye. They clearly used to chuff and skate and do stuff.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. It was sort of reminded me of being at a Dirty 3 gig back in the day. You know, just this.
Well, they're another example of, as you said earlier, old people still making great music.
Yeah.
Because Tumbleweed have put out 2 singles this year already, and they're both fantastic. And they're you know, going to be recording again soon, and there'll be another album out before the end of the year.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know.
It's never too late to become a new fan of an old band.
Exactly. And that Desperate Measures, the Meanies album that you still haven't opened.
Dobber.
Even though you bought it 6 months ago. Get around
it. I've got a backlog.
Yeah, I'm not talking about your health problems. but a lot of people have said that is their favourite Meanies record. That's the best one we've ever done. And, oh, thank you very much. I'm a bit too close to it to say that sort of shit myself. But Link's most proud of that one, you know, our singer. That's the one he's most proud of, the newest one. So, you know, and I can remember when I Died Pretty, when I think it was either Doughboy Hollow or the one after it, Lost, and they're going, oh, clearly it's the best thing we've ever done. And I was foolish enough to think, oh yeah, doesn't every band say that? Like their newest record's the best thing they've ever done. And then I heard it and went, holy shit, this is the best thing they've ever done. So no, it's not.
I can't wait. I'll be peeling it back. What first? The new Even record or?
Well, that's an old Even record. So, well, mind you, the Meanies one's old now too, isn't it?
Oh, come, give me a break.
do them concurrently. I've noticed there's more than one turntable in here. Put them on at the same time.
Yes.
Make an absolute racket.
And this is new. This is a new setup. So I wasn't allowed to come down here for most of lockdown.
Yeah, right.
Because I was 6.5 kilometres from my house.
Oh, get out of here. So but was that as the crow flies?
There's only the records that I bought online that I got sent to my home. So yeah, I literally went through lockdown with a Mildlife record and my box of compilations, Rupert 76 and all that, in the shed.
Well, the Mildlife record's pretty good.
It was a pretty good record.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have been too bad off there, but 6.5. Look, who was ever going to find out anyway? They weren't going to track your phone. You could have ducked down here and done some work because you were allowed to go outside the 5Ks if it was work-related.
Well, I started recording for someone at Channel 10.
Yep.
And that was news-based. So suddenly I had a permit.
Yeah, there you go.
So I could get down here, but I was in charge of my children.
Yeah.
And I couldn't bring them here.
Gotcha.
So I was kind of trapped in Prezi doing remote recordings and whatnot up there.
That's a real depressing.
It was a tiny little house.
Yeah.
Two-bedroom house with four people constantly on meetings, two kids and my wife working for the library.
Oh,
it was insane. It was like it was more shh than a library film. Everyone, shh, shh, shh. So who's using the internet? We all are.
Yeah.
But I've got to turn that down. I end up cranking up my plan to like $120 a month.
Yeah, right.
Just to get it done. Well, just to make it look like I was being professional.
Now, there is still good music. Always still great music out there. Young, old, in between. I just love listening to Sin FM and PBS and Triple R.
Yeah.
In that order.
It's so good.
To find out the new stuff. It's great. Yeah.
That's what I do. Like, even if I don't have the time, my mates are like, you got to have that. I like the idea of having that crew who'll jump on WhatsApp or whatever and go, oh, have a listen to this.
Yep.
And then bam, you've got a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
There's a shop just around the corner called Slamwich. Have you ever been there?
Slamwich.
It's called Slamwich.
What are they doing there?
They play really good rock.
Really?
Yeah. So the guy makes sandwiches. Right, obviously,
and you slam down really while you're in there.
So it's just on Smith Street here.
Yeah, right.
And I've learned.
Is he one of your sponsors?
So much, even like Orb. I go in there and go, "Who's
oh,
this?
How good are Orb?
Who's this? Who's this?" And he goes, "Orb, you don't know Orb." And then he tells me about it.
Yep,
he's a young fella, and then off I go.
I love Orb.
I love Orb. I went. I discovered what's that crazy guy with the transparent guitar? It's an American band.
The OCs.
The OCs,
they're fantastic.
I went to see the OCs because the Orb
were playing. Was that a howler?
No, it was the Croxton.
Oh, the Croxton.
Yeah.
God damn.
Now, one more thing before we wind up.
Oh, we're winding up.
What's going
on?
We
just got warming up.
Well, this one more thing could take a while. It's nearly tea time.
We need some more creaming soda.
I know. We need to include chicken and chips as part of the rider as well. I'm pretty hungry. So the venues.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So it's been tough for the venues, but I went to a garage sale the other day.
Mm-hmm. And you bought a venue.
Yeah, I did. I accidentally bought another freaking – it was actually two – ironically, it was two doors up from the bar that I used to have.
Oh, yeah.
The Willow Bar.
Yep.
So – and it was Fanny's Receptions.
Yeah.
And I got to chatting the guy like who owns it.
The Northcote, the Regal Ballroom thing.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Regal,
did a show there once. I think Neil Wedd, who used to book the Prince and now books the Thornbury Theatre, was looking after it for a short while. Yeah.
But apparently it's been built into a full, like, top three size venue for Melbourne.
What?
Full international rock venue.
The Regal Ballroom on High Street, corner of High and Bastings, that one.
Opposite the Peacock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It used to be called Fanny's Reception when I had the bar there.
Yeah, okay.
Or maybe it was just painted on the back and I giggled but but it was just a reception for Greek people to get married in. But I talked to a guy, and apparently it's got this a consortium. We'll have to go and research it. But there's a proper, you know, cartel.
That's great.
Dudes, and they're doing it fully pro. It's all legal.
That's unreal.
And it's going to be one of it. He told me the order, what size it was in compared to the Forum.
Yep.
And compared to the Croxton or things like that.
Well, golly.
It's pretty big.
Did I just say golly? Golly gee.
Gomer Pyle's in the house.
Golly, Sergeant Carter. Well,
thank you.
No one under 50 would know what that reference was.
Well, they can get fucked. They don't make good comedy anymore.
God, what was I saying? When Even played the Regal Ballroom, I think it may, from memory, might have been a 500, 600, 700 capacity room. We didn't get that many in there, unfortunately, but I think from memory that's how big it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the Spotted Mallard is having a facelift and a name change. It's going to be the Brunswick Ballroom now.
The Brunswick Ballroom. Mm. It's got the size to call it that?
It does now because they've put the stage in a different spot and it's going to be great. It was already great. I did like the Spotted Mallard quite a lot. And one of Even's favourite gigs ever was Christmas Eve in 2019 at the Spotted Mallard.
There you go.
It was just a rip snorter.
I heard it was closed down, but I didn't realise it was to make it even better.
Yeah, that's why.
That's great. I saw Nugent playing there. It's awesome. Oh, Simon Nugent. With Hesketh and all the boys.
What an underrated motherfucker he is.
Oh, it's amazing.
That happened. Yeah, anyway, we could go on for hours about that.
We could. But we won't.
Hey, so, save that for another time.
So COVID's a good time to build a venue.
Yeah, but how's that? I mean, you'd think that all these venues would be going bust, but then there's other ones opening up and other ones renovating, and the Evelyn is having a massive facelift. I mean,
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Spooky. We're just talking about the Evelyn with some people the other night.
Yeah, there you go. And they're finally getting the upstairs because me and my mate Shauno used to book it. Mary Mihalakos booked the Evelyn for a while back in the, you know, when it was $2 to get into the punters and, well, the punters is a bit more than that, but yeah, anyway, we're back when the Evelyn looked like a Doncaster lounge room. And then they had the renovations and Mary went overseas, so me and my mate Shauno took over booking. And then we got the ask because they wanted to, well, just wanted to change direction for a little while.
Okay.
But anyway, where our office was
Jazz
upstairs, pretty much, they gutted it because they were going to do something upstairs. And that was the mid-90s.
Mm.
And now they've finally done it. So 25 years later, they're actually renovating the upstairs and they've built a staircase and – so it's going to be, I don't know what it's going to be, another bar, dining area, whatever. But
Disco's
with
ice
that.
Creamery, that's what they need.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's another bloody ice creamery getting built on the corner of my street. Thank
Are you
very much.
Kidding me?
Fucking hell.
You've got your eye on the ground in Fitzroy. Well, I haven't
I've lived there for a long time.
I haven't crossed the border for a while.
Yeah.
Because I get a bit frightened. Although I did cross the border today. I went for a big walk up to Found Sound.
Oh, yeah. Found Sound. Great. Found Sound's awesome. Hello, Lewis.
An awesome, awesome
Such a
shop
great shop.
That is. And the dudes are so helpful.
Yep. I've bought and sold a fair bit of stuff in there over the time. And
any music stuff?
Boom tish. Three shame, my good man. and Adam Cole in there. He does my guitar setups when I need stuff done.
Yeah.
Because I play bass, so I don't know how to do it.
Lloyd Cole's son. Sorry, I didn't mean to cause a commotion.
Oh!
Sorry about that.
Good on your dad.
Yeah.
It was very good, though.
Do you know, like, I go in there and I go, fuck, I'm out of touch, but I can tell that all these people are great musicians.
Yeah.
Just from their hair.
We're definitely trying to get sponsorship here. What freaked me out, though, was when Lewis Boyce owns the shop, but he had one of his, you know, his two ICs. His name was Louis as well. So it was Louis, and they'd both turn around.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's why you're calling him Lewis.
Yeah. Lewis Boyce instead of Lulu.
I loved being in there. It made me want to be a musician.
when I go in there, I struggle leaving because it's such a nice feeling in there. And I've taken many an international guest in there and they've loved it.
Yeah. It is a nice vibe. Yep. I want to – all those little electric things I want to have a go of as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are, but there's juice. some cool stuff.
I took a lady friend in there six or eight months ago, and she upsold herself. She was so happy to be in there and was had a budget in mind, and just kept going, what's that one? What's that one? And Lewis is looking at me going, you can bring her in again. Her budget just tripled.
Well, it kind of happened to me, but I didn't have that budget. But I was like, oh, God, I've always wanted a Fender Telecaster, well.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, they're a beautiful guitar.
But I've never really played guitar.
Well, it's never too late to learn.
Let alone a Telecaster, right? So I've just gone, what am I doing? Am I just going to die not having one, or am I going to get one?
You're going to get one.
And either learn or not. I don't care, but at least
you can get really, really good ones for a little less than that price you told me earlier, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can.
This one's like.
Has it got Derek in the.
It looks very, very special.
In the inlay?
The case is silver.
Oh, you got to get it then.
Call me shallow. But you've got to think about the case because people like me, that's the bit you're going to see.
It's never coming out of the case. Oh, my God.
I want it.
And one of my sisters used to go out with a guy that fancied himself as a bit of a guitarist, and he bought two Steve Vai signature edition guitars. I think it might have been this Locking crazy trailer. Aluminium thing and, you know, just etchings on it and crazy and stuff. And they got robbed once, and he lost both of them, and he didn't have them insured.
Oh, no.
Poor bastard. Anyway.
I did have an electric guitar that got stolen out of my bedroom, but I still never played it. It was just a cheap.
Same here.
It's awful. Fitzroy, Napier Street.
Oh, I used to. Funnily enough. Oh, yeah. We used to live across the road from each other. Yeah. That house.
Yeah.
Christ.
Someone came in the back, took everything that I might have been.
Probably about eight entrances to your property back then, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. I went past it.
Geez, you knew how to throw. You knew how to throw a party.
When the brick wall fell down.
Yes.
Fuck, man. Trying to explain to the interstate landlord that it was the wild party wasn't the cause of the wall falling down.
Yeah.
Someone just leaned on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely. But no one was running at it.
Did anyone get injured? I can't remember.
No, I don't think so.
I remember entering because I had to leave for a while from that party, and I re-entered the party through the broken wall. I thought, oh, this wasn't here before. What's going on?
It was. It was just tidier and upright.
And what if, since this is the first recording for your thing, I was about to say, have you spoken about the Fitzroy Mail? But
my God, I'd forgotten about it.
I've still got my copies.
Have you?
Yeah.
Far out.
Yeah, they're strewn across three different boxes of memorabilia, but I've still got Fitzroy Mail.
There you go. Look at this media mogul. I reckon that Fitzroy Mail had the same kind of manifesto as this show, because the idea was I got sick to death of everyone going, oh, Fitzroy's finished. Everyone's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were saying that back then.
They're
still saying it now. I still live in Fitzroy. I haven't grown up and moved out.
Yeah.
I've just moved from Napier to Cecil, and, you know, that was a big move.
Did you take the hot tub?
Oh, no. Nah. Andy took it when he moved out, sadly.
Oh.
That wine barrel jacuzzi was fantastic for a few years there.
Was it COVID safe?
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. But thankfully it was a couple of decades pre-COVID.
I remember one of those early apartments put a jacuzzi. Do you remember? It was like up behind.
Yeah.
One of the early apartments, they had kind of one on their balcony.
Did they?
And I think they realised how... You know, a sound when you're in a jacuzzi, you
automatically you yell because you don't realize you don't mean to. You can be stone cold sober and you're having a chat with your friend that's in the tub with you and just talking at a rather, you know, high volume because just to be heard.
After a couple of bottles of Moe, they were very curious. Their conversation.
I had a couple of mates over one night, and we were very loud in the backyard, and there was a great letter stuck under the door the next morning about, you know, whatever. It was very nice, but it was a.
Was it from me?
No, it wasn't. Because, the backyard at Napier Street, and there was one of those McDonald land housing apartment blocks that was inside one of the old Mac Robertson buildings, which most of the buildings in Fitzroy are Mac Robertson buildings. Mm. The Chocolate King.
Mm.
Actually, Napier Street, 382 Napier Street, was apparently one of his childhood homes, Mac Robertson.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Had an old timer from the area who used to work for Mac Robertson, tell me that. Anyway, I digress often. Yeah, the noise would just, like you say, you know, having a chat, just travel up.
Yeah.
But it was such a great night that I had the letter turned into a T-shirt, and so the three of us who were making the noise all have a T-shirt with that letter on the front.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's gold. You know, you were speaking about the Fitzroy Mail, and it kind of also reminds me of...
Which, by the way, was Derek's, there was his first foray into journalism.
It was like a zine.
Yes,
it was. I guess you'd call it a zine.
Yeah.
And I published it. I think it was 16 pages or 32 pages every month.
Yep.
And I delivered it by hand into every house in Fitzroy.
Yep.
And the people I met, John Clark lived in Fitzroy. The people I met.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Oh. You go, hello. He was a funny guy. Bless him. But it did get me into a funny situation because I saw there was going to be, you know, when you're kind of bullshit that you're. You are something.
Yep.
People believe you in the end. Like when I told Brad Lawson I was an actor, I ended up in the drugs video clip, even video. So things like that. And
if you say something,
I went along. There was
enough
a meeting.
Times, you believe it yourself.
Yeah, there was a meeting upstairs at the Scroat.
Yeah.
For about the noise thing. Remember that noise?
Debacle? Oh yeah, the Fair Go for live music.
Oh yeah, and venues were getting shut down. I think Bar Open was under pressure because they were building above the Bog Ring.
Yeah.
And they were, and so they were quite sensible. But I went along thinking it was a public meeting.
Oh.
As a journalist, right?
A journalist for the Fitzroy Mail.
And I sat there for.
Oh, and John Perring, the unofficial mayor of Fitzroy, would have gone, oh, that's you, is it? Oh, I'll be wondering who does that. Gutter press.
I seriously felt like I was in there with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. Like it was like the bosses were all in this little room and fucking me going, oh, Susanna Espy, people like that, I guess. You know, all these bosses from all the pub owners. And I went, oh, my God, it's just me. Get me out of here. they're looking at me going, who is he? No one asked. But there you go.
It wasn't quite as funny as the Fauves fanzine shred, but it was up there.
The tote zine? Did Paddy Burke?
The tote zine wasn't really. Paddy Burke's illustrations were the best part of the tote zine.
Yeah.
But no, the Fitzroy Mail was great. I loved it. I used to look forward to my copy under the door.
Well, there you go. Journalism. Now it's audio. We've really come a long way. So what's next?
What's
next in the record industry?
Fuck if I know.
Just going to wait.
I mean,
write it out.
I've started a bloody, limited pressing record label. What do I know about the record industry?
This is the promotions department.
Yeah.
But surely that thing about pre-ordering has got to make life a little bit easier.
Well, it does, and it did for me last year because when all the COVID shit hit and I just went, well, I've got nothing now. I've just, as it happened for a lot of us, I'm not sort of bemoaning, having a whinge. Yeah. It's just fact. So I lost every single gig that had been booked up for the rest of the year. Oh, what am I going to do now? I'm not very good at this pivot business. So I don't really – I'm a lazy prick, so I don't really necessarily want to go and learn a new skill just to get a new job. Music is all I want to do, and it's all I've ever wanted to do, and it's all I want to keep doing. So one thing I thought was, okay, just put more records out.
Yep.
Just get more stuff out there.
Yep.
Because people will want it, will want to get something new, will want to buy something online, have it arrive at their house, and it worked. So that was the upside of the putting that out. The downside, of course, was, as I said earlier, the bands couldn't tour. So
yes.
I'm still left with lots of records, but at least there was a flow going, and I hope to continue that.
There's still assets.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that sort of worked okay. So the pre-order thing is, like the Chris Wilson Live at the Continental reissue I've done, the pre-sales for that have been astronomical. It's been fantastic.
Mm.
There's a lot of love for that.
Yeah, I'm going to jump on and order that as soon as we finish recording.
There you go. Good work.
I've got a wonderful Chris Wilson story. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
Someone back in the day,
yep.
One of the boys, we cruised, my gang, we had a Mini, a Volkswagen Beetle, and a Monaro.
Oh, my God. Right. What a combo.
All coupes, pretty similar coupes, right? Two doors. There was always someone in the back wanting to chunder, which was annoying.
Oh, that would have been me because I get claustrophobic and I just would have, let me out.
But so our posse kind of went in because someone said, oh, Paul Kelly's playing at the corner.
Yep.
To give you a – I don't know when it was.
Is that your first foray at the corner?
No. This was probably 80s, sometime in the 80s.
Yep.
So we've all gone in there and there's like no – nothing there.
Yep.
There was a posters for a band called the Dog Bolters, right? And I'm going, fuck. And they're going, oh, well, let's go – get pissed somewhere else or whatever, get a kebab. So I've gone, hang on a minute, I'll run in. It's like, that's the kind of guy I am, you know, selfless. So I've jumped out and it was the way in was the back door.
Oh, yeah, I remember those days.
It was the back door.
Yeah, yeah, the stage was at the Swan Street end of the pub. Yeah. Yep.
So I went in there and there was the booth for the door friendly person.
Yes, back in those days that did not exist.
Yeah. So there was someone sitting there and I went, oh, excuse me, can you do you have any idea where Paul Kelly's playing tonight?
Yep.
And she said, yeah, here.
Yeah, good.
I'm going, doesn't look like it. She goes, it's a secret gig and they're playing as the Dog Bolters.
Oh.
Right? And the week before, well, I was really into Crown of Thorns.
Yep. Like
the weekend before I was at Crown of Thorns gig.
Yep.
Paid $8 to see Crown of Thorns.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the Crown of Thorns playing a full set.
Yep.
Then Paul Kelly.
Yep. As the Dog Bolter.
As the Dog Bolter.
Yeah.
With the Crown of Thorns or the Thorns as his band.
Oh, what?
A little bit like when the Weddos did Billy Bragg's kind
of
thing.
Oh, my God.
And then Wilson playing harmonica with – and it was just an epic night, an absolute epic night.
I think I just got goosebumps.
No. Oh,
that would have been amazing.
Beautiful. And I do have one picture to bookend it.
Yes.
Of a time we went for beers in a pub and Chris was playing in the front bar.
Yep.
It wasn't that long ago, you know what I mean? And I've got a great picture of my daughter and her little friend sitting on the carpet. What bar? One of those Brunswick East kind of bars.
Yeah, okay.
Where the stage was like a little fenced off area.
Yeah.
A little inner corner.
Oh, like the Retreat or something?
Yeah, it was this kind of, yeah, it might have
or
been.
Or the Union Hotel?
Big beer garden.
Yeah, the Retreat probably, I reckon.
Yeah, it was really cute. You got a great picture of him sitting there and the two little girls sort of framed.
Awesome.
Yeah, but there you go.
Awesome. That's one of my favourite gigs at the corner was seeing X. And the stage was at that end, at the Swan Street end, and the guests were Crown of Thorns. And at the time I thought, I love both bands, so I'm going to the show, but what a strange double. And then you saw them play together and went, that wasn't so strange at all. And it was just a perfect match. And Chris came out and played saxophone, wild saxophone with X.
What?
Yeah, it was incredible. It was such a great show. But my first ever corner hotel was seeing TISM. And they were dressed as like these flower pot men with these big flower heads on. Yes. It was just like, what the fuck have I got myself into?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I would have only been,
I don't know, 18 or 19
first
years
old. First TISM New Year's Eve.
Oh, yep.
I'd been already to the Melbourne's home of rhythm and blues, the Red House.
The John Barleycorn.
The John Barleycorn Hotel, right? We'd already been there.
Yeah, right.
No. Oh, look, I could be mixing it all up, but no, there we were.
Never let a bad memory
at the
get
venue,
away with a true story.
The venue ballroom, the venue in St.
Kilda. Yeah, St. Kilda. Love that place.
And I swear, I could be mixing up a whole bunch of special
Even
days.
The frickin' Novotel's, I think, has been torn down now, where the bloody venue was.
I'm talking, we're headlining.
That would have been, I would have loved to have
seen. But on the lineup was a band, it just said, this is Serious Mum. Never heard of them.
Yep.
Never heard of them. This is Serious Mum.
Yeah.
And they got up and it was like, what the actual fuck is going on? They had these hospital smocks with Choose Bad Smack printed on the front. It was during that whole, you know, the Choose Life thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had big white undies on and that's all. And these weird clear masks. I thought, this is the scariest thing I think I've ever seen. This is like Westworld or something.
Oh, my God. I used to so love seeing TISM.
Instant
love. And then the TISM newsletter used
Instant
to come.
Love.
Oh, what genius.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Bless those
Me and my
guys.
Mate Glenn Truen, we used to go see them all the time.
I was teasing someone about how everyone reckons they met someone from TISM. Even TISM have joked about it, right, in their songs.
Yeah.
And then my friend went, yeah, you have too. You had lunch with one of them. I'm going, when? She goes, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going, oh, right. Well, no one told me, which allowed me to keep cool, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, on such a beautiful note, Wal, I look forward to all the magic things coming up.
Yeah, look forward well, so to do I. I mean, I'm
just, punching out your cover record and unpacking the Meanies record,
yeah,
which is new.
Yeah, it's still so new. It's not even a year old yet.
So all the things to do, mm-hmm. drink some creaming soda.
Yes.
Get up to Found Sound and sell, buy, yep. do whatever you need to do.
Go to Slamwich and have him introduce you to a new band and Slamwich. A new sandwich.
So you're not too old to get into some new bands.
Exactly. And by all means, let Derek know whether you think I should reissue Wally's Wild Weekend. Preferably not.
No, because then it's going to – my one is going to lose value. You know how I'm into that. Get online and order. If someone goes, yeah, I want the new Meanies record, do you want them to go to a shop?
Well, if they go to a shop, that would be fantastic. But yep. I don't know which shops have still got it for starters. But if they want to get one online, you just go to cheersquad.com.au.
Yep.
Go to the releases icon.
There'll be a link in the show notes.
Yep. There you go. So, yeah, cheersquad.com.au. Go to releases and then you'll see all the records and just press on whichever one you want to bloody buy. And I will post it out to you.
Fantastic.
Because it's a one-man operation at the moment with my mate Miriam doing lots of online work for me. And that's about it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Safe, and we'll look forward to seeing you at all the gigs.
Thanks for having me. I'll be back when you have some more probing questions for me.
Oh, I've got some probing questions for sure. All right. Thanks, Rob.
Hey, Root.